3, and Rita, could you read the meeting in person?
The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link to see the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@ambsanchezcharter2.org. The public may also provide comments during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reminder, as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on Charter School's website.
Excuse me, team. Ms. Atkinson with Charter Affairs has asked for a 2-minute pause so that she is able to set up on the back end. Are we able to accommodate that, President Rennie? Thank you, sir.
It's a good time to open your sandwiches.
Thank you. We'll now have the Rita Colesol.
Arthur Rennie?
Here.
Julie Feiches?
Here.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi?
Here.
Good evening.
Here. Any board members? Now, Vanessa, could you do a Learning Center logo?
Yes. Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza from the Charter Affairs team for the Learning Center's roll call. All Learning Centers, can you please unmute your line? And the Learning Center is Fresno Street in Fresno?
Here.
Great. This concludes the Learning Center's roll call. Thank you, Lillian, for joining. Can you please place your line back on mute?
Great, thank you very much.
Well, now we'll move to the IMC Pledge of Allegiance. Happy to do meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance.
And
Mike up there, the inhumane, the building. Ready, salute. And I want to be the United States of America and to be the one who stands, one nation, one God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer, and I extend good afternoon to board and all in attendance. Thank you.
Thank you. School staff?
I'm Shohei Berry, Superintendent. Good afternoon, Board. Scotty Gifko, Principal. Good afternoon, Board Jenny Loretto, Learning Center Coordinator.
And Keith Virginia, the Director of Leadership Development.
Good afternoon, Representative of State Performance.
Sarah Newman, Director of State and Federal Programs.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Phil Congressman, Legal Counsel.
Good
afternoon, Board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLIC.
You're on mute, Michelle.
Oh, sorry. Good afternoon. This is Michelle Lopez. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Are there staff who want to introduce themselves? If not, we will move into item E, approving the agenda for March 2nd, 2023, regular board meeting. Do I have the motion to approve the agenda?
Kathy Gottmanzi, I so move.
Second, Bill Williams.
I'm moving to second, any discussion, any additions?
The Rennie?
Aye.
Judy Kaiches.
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi.
Aye.
Middle Lane.
Aye. Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Moving to item F. Approving the minutes of the February 9th meeting.
Judy Kaiches, I so move.
Second, Bill Williams.
We didn't stack it. Control roll.
Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
Judy Kaiches.
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi.
Aye.
Middle Lane.
Aye. Thank you, board members. Motion passing unanimously. The consent agenda item, which is two, all items considered by the board routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the firms. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to discuss and consider for action. So I need a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Do we catch it when so moved?
Becky Giacomozzi seconds her motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, the three, could you call the roll, please?
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
Julie Kaiches?
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomozzi?
Aye.
Philip Bain?
Aye.
Thank you, board members. Motion passes unanimously. Moving to item 3, which is the public comment area of the agenda. The Queen, could you read that, please?
At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted for presentations will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilizes the form, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule a matter for a future meeting.
Has there been anyone that has contacted or wants to address the board?
This is the Queen Anne Flyers reporting that there are no members of the public who submitted written comments.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public in attendance who want to address the board at this time? If not, we will move forward to item number 4. Reports and information, starting with Sarah Luna, accountability update report.
Good afternoon, and thank you for being here with me this morning. First, I'd like to set the stage for the accountability deputy.
That was all.
Yeah.
Done.
Y'all can be questions. First, I'd like to set the stage for the accountability update. The data collection protocol for certain California school dashboard metrics has been altered for DAS schools like ours. We are here to reassure you that though our school may be portrayed differently on the California dashboard, we are still the same school. The COVID-19 pandemic affected educational services and student learning worldwide. In California, the pandemic also interrupted the statewide data collection, assessment, and accountability system. The California School Dashboard, Deanna, we're on the next slide, focus lines. The California School Dashboard is one part of California's comprehensive accountability system for schools that reports performance and progress in 13 different areas. Each area reflects the priorities of California's local control funding formula and the metrics required by the federal Every Student Succeeds Act. The last dashboard was produced in 2019, reflecting data from the 17-18 and 18-19 school years. Today's dashboard looks very different from its 2019 counterpart. The 2022 dashboard is a restart of California's accountability system. Since there was no data for the last 2 years due to the various effects of the pandemic, there is no way to show growth from year to year, which is what the dashboard is designed to do. The reason you won't see the colorful gauges is due to Assembly Bill 130. Which requires us to only use current year data on the 2022 dashboard. Rather than the colorful gauges, you will see purple cell phone numbers to indicate the current year's data. The indicators you see on the left were reported on the 2022 dashboard, but PCI was not reported due to the lack of ability to utilize previous year's data. On this slide, you'll see an overview of the history of the California dashboard. And as you can see, we have yet to see a full California dashboard. The next few slides will go in depth into the changes and updates to the 2022 dashboard. One change is that the academic indicator, federal participation rate penalty, is much more detrimental to the school that does not meet the 95% participation requirement. Our staff have always understood the importance of ensuring at least 95% of schools participate, and we will continue to monitor this closely throughout the testing windows to avoid the need to assign a lost score for any missing students.
On July 27, 2022, the U.S. Department of Ed declined California's waiver request that would allow for the continued use of modified methods for calculating the academic and graduation proficiency. As a result of this waiver denial, the 2022 dashboard will be the first dashboard without any modified methods applied to state indicators. So all dashboard alternative school status schools are dashboards. They'll be treated the same as all other schools on the dashboard. In addition to DAS schools being held to the same set scores on the 5x5 performance level grade of non-DAS schools, the method of measuring graduation rates and CCI has been graded. Previously, DAS schools were able to measure graduation rate using a one-year cohort rather than a four-year cohort. Both the graduation rate and the CCI on the 2022 dashboard are now measured by the number of fourth-year graduates from the class of 2022, as well as fifth-year graduates from the class of 2021. The CDE committed to calculating and displaying the DAS one-year cohort graduation rate for 2022 and beyond, which will be found in additional reports for 2022. This slide is an overview of the major shifts for DAS schools from the 2019 dashboard to the 2022 dashboard. And what does all of this mean for our charter? Most of the metrics we share with you will not be affected, as you at the bottom of this slide. Our test performance on the dashboard should not be greatly affected, and that we pride ourselves on ensuring that we continue to meet the 95% participation requirement. The main concern for our school is how the dashboard will portray us with respect to graduation rate and CCI, as those both will now be based upon the four-year graduation rate. As the four-year graduation cohort does not reflect the work we do and the students we serve, we will continue to focus on our one-year graduation cohort and ensuring those students are CCI prepared. We will continue to track this data internally and continue to grow in our practices to support students in our one-year cohort to graduate prepared for college experience. In addition to what you will see on the California dashboard, we will continue to report our one-year graduation cohort and CCI to the board. This does conclude the accountability update report. We appreciate your continued support. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Questions for Sarah?
Very
thank you,
sir. Cohort, so cohort, the one-year cohort is basically you're looking at the students that are seniors would be for that year, is what a one-year cohort would be. The four-year cohort means you're tracking when the students got into ninth grade and then counting the years of high school from there. So that would be a four-year cohort as you're looking at a group of ninth graders and tracking it.
You've been muted. To unmute yourself, press star 6.
That's
a full-time job.
Thank you. Principal update,
Garden Day. Name board, I just have a few updates. I will be reviewing our metric summary. And so our current ADA right now for Ambassador Sanchez is 85%. We increased from last learning period, which was by about 1% increase. Our enrollment is at 259 students. We increased by 9 students. That was the last day of LP7, which was January 27th, but I'm happy to report to the board as of Tuesday, February 28th, our enrollment's at 292 students. So it's going to be a good jump for the next board meeting. Our core credit completion rates are at 2.23%, and we've increased 0.7% or 0.774 credits each learning period. For NWA, we're still in the, our students are still completing their NWA assessment, so we'll have updates at our next board meeting, but from our fall our testing percentages, we had about 94% of the students complete the reading, 91% of our students completed the math, and then from that group, we had 42% showed growth in their reading, and 56% of the students showed growth in math. It's exciting to highlight that our math percentages are growing. We really have been focusing on intervention and making sure our students are getting the support they need. Our for CAS, we are looking at that 38% of our students have showed are meeting or exceeding grade level standards, and we increased from 6.39% from the 2019 school year. But as Sarah had mentioned, the 2020 dashboard or CAS was canceled due to the pandemic, and then the dashboard, the data was not reported on 2021. So we're just comparing this 2019 to 2022. Our one-year cohort rate as unofficial, that's internally, is 98%. We're waiting for those additional reports to be released by CDE. Our four-year cohort rate that's reported on the dashboard is 26%. We're still proud of our 98% of our one-year cohort rate, that of the students that have graduated. We're still waiting on our EL reclassification percentages, but internally we're tracking at about 8.93% of our EL students are going to be reclassified, and there is no update currently on our CCI indicator. And this next slide shows our enrollment trends. So you can see that over the course of the year, our enrollment has increased. On here, it does not show for LP1. We had a significant increase with summer school students. It's not reflected on there. So LP1, we had about 400 students enrolled. But this just shows what was in our system and data design at that point. And so you can tell, like, each LP, our enrollment has increased. So this is very exciting. We're not decreasing. We're increasing and maintaining where we're at. Next one shows our ADA. And so our ADA, we've implemented a new credit structure this school year where in order, and it's only if staff's aware, the students are not aware of this, but we're telling them they need to be turning in, you know, two credits to get full ADA, so that way they're on pace to graduate with their peers. We've maintained an 85 or 83% and higher throughout the entire school year. Our average core credits, you can tell it's been increasing. When it declines, it's usually when there's a holiday. So it could be our winter break, our Thanksgiving break, you know, any 3-4 day weekend, students tend to, it takes a longer time to get back into the swing of things. But for this LP7, we're at 2.23, so it was exciting to see that, you know, we had a tremendous growth from LP6 to LP7. Our students who came back from winter break were motivated and ready to go and know exactly what they need to do. The next one talks about our CAS score. As Sarah had mentioned, that our dashboard has changed. So previously, it used to be the meter system. Now it's going to be based off of the graph system. Based off of those, we're still really low. We're working on improving, but you can tell we've increased from 1 year to the next. And I would like to actually go to the next slide just to show our comparison with our surrounding school district. So Ambassador Sanchez had the highest growth for reading. So those are students who met or exceeded the standards. That was at 7.67% compared to all of our, you know, our comprehensive schools around here and some of our other charter schools. So we're super excited for that. We're working on our math. Luckily, we did not decrease. We we just maintained. So we got to celebrate the positives of that. We're really focusing on math this year and just making sure our students are getting that support so they can show that growth. So hopefully next year, fingers crossed that it changes from zero to something higher.
Just freeze on that screen because that tells the story.
Because the 19 to 22, most districts in math went down by anywhere from 14 points to, I think the least amount was like 6 point negative falling point. So the fact that we even stayed close to the same was huge. Everybody in the Fresno area was saying, what are the learn for life schools doing? How come they didn't have those huge decreases in math? And as you know, at high school level, that is not the math you can learn at home on your own when you're advanced geometry and algebra two.
And I was going to add to that when our DAB scores and our graduation rates appear to drop based on the new federal requirement, this is the story we actually want to tell, not the graduation. It's really a change, not in our program, but in reporting. This is the story to tell.
Thank you, Shelley. So, yeah, super excited about, you know, how we're able to grow and maintain our results. Next, we just had some of our school events. We had our first ever winter formal. It was held in January 20th. So it was a combination with Ambassador Sanchez and Stevie Self. We had 115 students attend. It was very exciting to see that not a lot of the students know each other, but they celebrated each other. As we were announcing King and Queen, students were cheering each other on, just so genuinely happy for each other. Students were really excited and are already asking for future events. I know they're asking for proms. I told them, yeah, maybe next year. Not maybe this year, but we're looking at doing some sort of like dance, maybe once in the spring and once in the fall. We have a new mascot. This was as a result of our North Region PD. We received feedback that our mascot wasn't acceptable. Thank you, Shelley. I was looking for the right words. And so our previous mascot was a conquistador. And so we realized that our mascot should be an animal, not a person. So we put it out to the students, staff, had surveys. We were super excited. So now we are the ambassador dragon. Students voted on the color, the design. So we're excited to get, you know, our logo on our new logo on future products. Then we have esports. So we just started esports. We have, it's very exciting that this is our second round of esports and students are very excited about it. We have about 20 students who are participating. It grew from our first round. The first round we had, it was about 6 students. So word of mouth, they are excited about the class. They're meeting 2 times a week. They're meeting in one of the classroom just to get, you know, understanding of what esports is and how they can better, you know, contribute to one another. And then we started a art alliance. So every Monday, our students, and it's not for credit, it's just to be able to express themselves. We started off with where they can write poetry, draw pictures, and so now it's going to be guided lessons throughout their remainder of the school year. The students are excited, are coming, and just want to be able to try something different. Those are all the board updates I have. Do you have questions for me?
I just have about the dances.
Yes.
They just go, they don't have dates, they just go to the dance?
They go, a lot of them went with their friends, they went with, you know, we were able to have guest passes, so they went with their siblings, some brought dates, but it was just a lot of friends who chose the King and Queen. So we just randomly picked the name out of the box. The students, if they wanted to be nominated, just had to write their name in.
Great way to do it.
So it was not a popularity contest. It was just like, hey, if your name's in there, we're going to pick it out. And you get the King and Queen. So we had a crown for our King and Queen, and then we had sashes made also.
Something you didn't mention, but the staff and all, I went as well, but Chandra, all the staff is dressed up, all sparkly, and they're, oh, you know, so that was really cool to see. The staff was participating with the kids, and the kids were so positive and cheering for each other when they didn't really know each other because they came from different schools. They were
super cool. Huge amount of kids that came on the first adventure.
Super cool.
And that was based off of feedback that students provided that we want to have a dance. We're like, okay, you guys said it. Now we're going to have a dance. And, you know, and we had different orientations so parents and students knew the expectations of the dance.
Great.
Well, what contributed to that large increase in student population?
For our enrollment?
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever the magic sauce is, we'd like to have that spread around.
Yeah. it's been a combination of things. We've been definitely, you know, reaching out to the counselors around our surrounding school districts, but we've also increased enrollment in our online programs, so our remote options, so that's just catering to students who are teen parents, who are working, and so we've seen an increase just with kids coming that way. We've had a, thanks to Shelly, a recovery project. I'm not calling it correct, not a recovery project. It was a, not a recovery project.
All in recovery.
It was basically reaching out to students who were disengaged and seeing if they wanted to come back and providing that initial, another opportunity. So those students who were previously disengaged came with us, but because of COVID left, they have got a second opportunity, and we've been working closely with WIOA just to be able to increase our enrollment to our adult students. This has been a combination of a lot of things. We're offering like tours to our local communities, and I think because of our higher numbers for summer school, we get students from Selma Unified, Sanger,
from our surrounding district that word of mouth is out there and they're coming to us.
Well,
you have a big summer school program that adds to your numbers.
With your new position, would you please just carry that enthusiasm throughout the entire area?
The region?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I like a challenge.
Any other questions? Okay, we're going to need to Shelley.
Yes, I am the dashboard. However, Sarah and Gil have really talked it up, and they've covered everything that I'm going to touch on the dashboard, but I would be happy to take any follow-up questions or make any clarifications that you need.
Any questions? Any thoughts? Great. Let's move to item D. Mr. Thompson, legislative update.
Thank you. Yes, in your package, you have that great 20-page summary that Michelle Lopez did for us of all the new laws. And so, Michelle, would you like to go over that with the board a little bit?
Sure. Thanks, Bill. Good afternoon again, board. Enclosed in your board packet, let's see, beginning on page 103 for Ambassador, is a summary of new laws affecting charter schools that were passed in the 2022 legislative session last year. The governor, as you can see, signed many bills that were designed to assist schools and students coming out of the pandemic. A few highlights for you include Assembly Bill 748, which requires schools to create and display posters that share resources regarding student mental health. Assembly Bill 185, which increased state funding to schools. And a requirement from Assembly Bill 58 for schools to update their suicide prevention policies and training materials to incorporate best practices identified by the CDE. The legislature also focused on firearm safety and threats of homicide in schools through two bills, Assembly Bill 452 and Senate Bill 906. I'd also like to highlight three bills that affect the board, Assembly Bills 2158 and 2449. And Senate Bill 1100. Assembly Bill 2158 is an ethics training requirement that now extends to school governing board members. This is the same training requirement that has been in effect since 2006 for officials in cities, counties, and special districts. All board members who are seated as of January 1st, 2025 must receive the required training by January 1st, 2026, and then retrain at least once every 2 years thereafter. Second, Assembly Bill 2449 offers additional teleconferencing options under the Brown Act for board members' personal emergencies or for just cause. There are very specific definitions for these exceptions and limitations of use that are described in the bill. Finally, Senate Bill 1100 provides the board president additional authority for dealing with members of the public who might be disruptive at a board meeting. There are many additional laws included in your board packet summary for your review. On your own time. This concludes my legislative update report, and Bill and I are here to answer any questions or comments you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. When I was opening my packet and seeing that within this legislative information was something concerning water bottles, I was like, what can they do in reference to water bottles? But then as I read earlier, it had to do with water bottle stations.
There's water bottle stations and a lot of other details on water bottles. The schools are actually required to put up another poster encouraging staff and students to carry water bottles and, the benefits of drinking water and not using non-recyclable water bottles, et cetera, et cetera. So that was an interesting one from the legislature this year for sure. We're addressing it.
We don't have any trails.
Are there posters on it? Please breathe.
but pretty soon we'll just have wallpaper to put up everywhere of all the posters the schools are required to do.
I'm sorry.
That's a good segue into my few comments as well. Thank you so much, Michelle. This brings up the point that it's important to kind of stay on top of what may happen in the future to legislators, because a lot of interesting things can happen. And along those lines, Bob Morales, the Chief of Internal Affairs Officer at LLAC, who in fact reports to Skip Hansen, he and his team do an outstanding job of really finding out what may be on the horizon. Now, for example, there's 30 new legislators because of term limits and because of elections. That changes fairly frequently. So he and his team do their best to set up meetings and get to know the staffers and the new legislators, and they are in the process of doing that right now. In March, this month, I'll be meeting with some of them up in Sacramento because the CCNSA conference happens to be in Sacramento. So it's really a great opportunity to tell our story, talk about the students that, you know, have their own children to take care of, have two jobs, you know, virtually homeless or foster children, aged out from the other schools. All those kind of students that we take care of and help, and be able to explain that. Now, there are three trade organizations, CCSA, A-Plus, and the C Charter School Development Corporation. I always have to say ERICS. These are three organizations that started pretty early on after the Charter School Act came about, and that is to promote independent study, to promote school choice, to promote charter schools, the seat-based charter schools as well. So these three organizations, we have a seat there. We are involved with them, and it's a good thing because they keep an eye on the potential of what's going on in Sacramento, and Bob and his legislative advisors are able to then see what's happening. Now, 2022 was a good year. It was a much better year than you all recall us talking about a couple of 3 years ago when we had some really big challenges. 2022 is shaping up to be a pretty good year. The legislature may well be involved in a number of other things and not have focus to be dealing with charter schools. But if it happens, if something comes up, I think the board can be rest assured that we are in there and we're aware of what's going on. Bob Ross himself has come when he can to our meetings. This is something we'll do at each meeting because, you know, everybody talks about the kids and what's good for the kids, and we all know that. It's not about the money. It's about the kids. Realistically, you know, we want to take care of the children that our good staff does such a good job with. But it is about the money, you know, because there's going to be the state is facing some issues, I think, with the deficit. So you've always got to be aware of what's going on in Sacramento. And so I'll just conclude with that. I just wanted the board to be comfortable that your school is being watched over and protected as much as possible in that arena. Any questions? Okay.
You guys do a wonderful job. That's well known about Stone Mountain, particularly after the RQ words. Mr. Anderson. Okay, any questions for Bill? If not, we move to item E. He just got a finance update.
Thank you, board. Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to bring your attention to your PDF packet, page 124. You can also follow me on the screen. This document reflects the line of credits that the school has. On the top, you'll see how many line of credit. It reflects how much the school has on the first line, updated as of January 31st, 2023. It also reflects the covenant, what the school has to maintain as far as the calculations we do in order to show the bank that the school continues to meet the requirements of the bank to be able to draw from the line of credit when necessary. Well, the only change on this document as an update is the interest rate, which the interest rate has increased again, how many line of credit moves with the prime rate. And currently it's at 8.25% from my last update of 7.5%. And then on the bottom section, you'll see for Ambassador, the line of credit with through the promissory note with Lifelong Learning, and that is a fixed rate of 4%. So in case the school needs to borrow for any reason at any point of time, we obviously will look at other options to ensure, you know, what the get the school the lowest interest rate. But this is just the update for the board if you ever need to access to see what the line of credit is for the school specific to ambassador. So that concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Any questions for Geeta? If not, we'll move to Shelley with the vendor list.
Thank you very much. In your board packet on pages 126 through 128, you'll find a list of all of the vendors that we've used for the school year. And we use those vendors for professional development, technology, health services, and really any service that we use all year long. I have reviewed the list, and I'm just providing it for your reference. Also, as a really good reminder for the board to double-check that list to make sure that you don't have any conflicts of interest with any of those vendors. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to myself about a specific vendor or to Bill for conflict of interest.
I just have a question about, I noticed there's like some accountants on there. So you've used other accountants for different things?
Bill, I'm going to refer to you for, or Geeta, actually. Yeah, you want to talk about other accountants?
Geeta, you might address that question. There are other accountants on the list.
The other accountants, which one are you referring to?
I think I saw another one on the previous one. I thought there was another accountant or another.
You remember the name was?
No, I don't remember.
Swilkinson Hadley.
Yeah, but I thought there was another one on one of the lists that I saw.
Johansson and Yao, Accountancy Corporation.
Yeah, there you go. Johansson and Yao, audit services. So you use other besides the Wilkinson people for audit?
Yeah, I don't believe that for the taxes or for the audits for the third party. That could be for a specific case, but I can get that for you and the specifics on that.
Fine. Thank you.
That's a really good question. It could be having a particular grant or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You have a question? Well, let me announce that the next board meeting is April 20th, and then once again on June 1st. And within the action items, starting with action item A, we're going to ask for revised charter school accounting.
Thank you, board. So I'd like to bring your attention to the your PDF packet on pages 132 to 137. You can find the red lines throughout the document. There are some corrections for spelling or grammatical corrections, which we always find every time we review when we bring revisions to your attention. But there are two items that I'd like to go over. One is on page 99. There's an insert in reference to board member travel reimbursement. The board did not have any policy as far as travel reimbursement, so that was included so the board can be compensated for that purpose. And then on page 106, there was a section that we recommended early on during pandemic when the schools went to work remote and nobody was accessible to sign any documents, contracts. We put some processes in place for electronic signature. And since it's been 2.5 years, we've been enhancing that process. And it actually, electronic signature will have a better audit trail as far as who approves and how, when it goes to the next step. And what we are recommending is to maintain that policy permanently. So we want to remove the pandemic condition and the deadline for it to be in place until the end of pandemic and make it a permanent policy for the school. Obviously, if there are signers available at any point of time, we will get original signatures on the documents. But for the ease of the process and the audit trail, we like to maintain that permanently. So those are the two items on the policy. And also just as a reminder, The whole accounting manual for the school was adopted originally from FICMAT, which is the oversight for the charter schools. So it was a recommended document, and it's been customized since and revised as new information comes to us for any updates as far as regulations. So those are my two recommendations to the board. And that concludes my section. Thank you. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Any questions for Eva?
Eva, Bill, Freeman, I do have just one quick question. It doesn't relate to the revisions, but on page 106, it does indicate that the governing board and CEO approved the signers. And I assume the current signers have been approved in the past, but it also says that there's a law of maintain of check signers. Is there, can we get, as a board, can we get a copy or just a list of who the check signers are?
Yes, definitely. I can provide that to the board.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Sure.
Other question? If not, I can make a motion to approve and revise charter school accounting manual.
Bill Lien, I make a motion to approve the revisions of the school accounting manual.
Okay, just a second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, call the roll, please.
Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
Julie Hutchins. Aye. Jacqueline Jacobacci.
Aye.
Philip Lien.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, board. Moving to item 5B. We're going to ask Roberto the second interim report and revised budget. Gita.
Thank you, board. This is Gita again with LLAC. So I'd like to go over the second interim report for fiscal year 22-23 for the for Ambassador. And this document is the second financial report of the fiscal year. It shows financial conditions, condition of the school after the first 7 months of the operations from July 1, 2022 through January 31st, 2023. This is a form 62 from California Department of Education. The report includes financial information and ADA projections. The financial sections include original budget in column A, second revision to the budget proposed for approval in column B, actuals to date in column C, and projected totals in column D that match the revised budget as they both share the same data and analysis in their development. The financial sections also provide projections the school reserves and its components at the year end. We will start with the average daily attendance on Form A, is the last page of Form 62. And updated projection of ADA is based on current enrollment trends, which is used to prepare the second revision to the budget and projected year end totals. The school originally budgeted a P2 ADA of 306, and it is currently projecting a funding ADA of 327. Showing an increase of 21 ADA that has a positive impact in funding sources that are based on current year's ADA. However, the first revision to the budget in the first interim was based on the projected increase of 34 ADA. So the second budget revision is actually showing a slightly lower revenue levels on ADA based on the funding compared to the prior reports. Now we're going to review revenue and expenditures, and we'll start with revenue. It's on the first page of the Form 62 for the 7 months of the operations for the school. On the second budget revision, most revenue changes, including the prior revision presented in the first interim report, remain in place. They include a COLA of 13.26% for LCFF sources, same funding rates for SPED, lottery, and mandated block grants, and the addition of two state multi-year grants. One was Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant, and the second one was the Arts and Music Block Grant. In this revision, additional adjustments in revenue come primarily from changes in projected ADA and a reduction of approximately 33% in the Arts and Music Block Grant. If you look under the revenue, under the LCFF sources, shows a projected revenue of $5.4 million. The increase over original budget comes from increase in COLA mentioned before and the increase in projected funding ADA. Federal revenue shows a decrease from 247 to 173,000. That comes from a reduction of utilization of the federal ELO funding during this year. The remaining funds available will be spent and recognized as revenue in the future years. So the money will remain, it's just being spent in the upcoming years. Other state revenue shows a significant increase from 400,000 to 1.5 million. That comes primarily from recognition of two restricted multi-year state grants that I just mentioned. Other local revenue shows a small increase of 3,000 that comes from interest and refunds. On the expense side, the school is projecting a total expenditure of $6.5 million, showing an increase of $1.2 million compared to the original budget, consistent with an increase in expenditures projected in first interim. Most spending categories show an increase due to the implementation of services related to the one-time restricted grants and an expansion of existing instructional spending due to the increase in projected ADA. Salaries and benefits show an increase of $847,000. This increase is due to an increase in all categories, including teachers, certificated support and administrative salaries, and classified instructional and support salaries. Projected totals for purchases increased from $482,000 to $513,000 due to an increase in school supplies and materials and equipment. Projected operating expenses increased from $1.7 million to $2.1 million, and it includes an increase of projected spending in professional services, communications, and facilities. After current projection of revenue and expenditures, the school is budgeting for an excess revenue over expenses of $644,000. The net position section in the first page, item F, as in Frank, it shows a beginning net position of $1.1 million with a projected excess revenue of $644,000. This school will end the fiscal year 22-23 with a projected net position of $1.8 million. Of the total reserve of $1 million, will be restricted and will be spent in the following fiscal years according to the restricted grant plans. The projected ending unrestricted net position of $749,000 will be equal to 11% of the total expenditures. And this concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Do we have any questions for Nita? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the second interim report revised budget.
This is Jackie Chalcomozzi. I so moved.
Second, Phyllis Leon.
Any board members? Any discussion?
Austin Salve is always pizza.
Can you call the roll, please?
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
Julie Teichu?
Aye.
Jacqueline Chalcomozzi?
Aye.
Phyllis Leon?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item C, we're going to be out of your position. Wilson has been King for the 22-23 audit.
Thank you, Board. So as you all know, Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, LLP is the current auditing firm that does the third-party audit for the school, and they are an approved auditing firm under California Department of Education, and California Department of Education we have to use an approved auditor, and the reason is that the California Department of Education always updates the requirements and the compliance that the auditors must follow every year. So the guidelines must meet California Department of Education. So their scope of work is basically what they're supposed to be doing as a third-party auditor, which is reflected in this agreement. And then if you refer to page 6 of the document, it talks about the fees, and the fees have not increased year after year. It's about $12,000 for the services that they are providing to do the third-party audit for the school. So our recommendation is to maintain Wilkinson, Hadley, and King to perform the audit for fiscal year 22-23. Thank you.
Any questions for Gita? If not, I need a motion to once again approve using Wilkinson, Hadley, and King.
Julie Price has said so moved. Kathy Jockham has seconded a motion.
Seconded and discussion.
No. Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
Julie Kaiches?
Aye.
Jacqueline Jeffermont?
Aye.
Phyllis Meehan?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously. Moving to item D. Bringing a board resolution for board stipends. Mr. Thompson?
Yes, thank you. In your board package, you'll find the board resolution stating an increase in board member stipends from $450 per board meeting to $500 per board meeting for each meeting attended. The increased stipend takes into consideration the additional board member responsibilities incurred over the past few years, in addition to the amount of time needed for board members needed board meeting preparation and participation in other events required of your service as a board member. We've also considered inflation that's been going on, which we are all aware. We recognize and appreciate your service and diligence during the past few years, which resulted in your participation with monthly virtual board meetings, and we recognize the additional time and effort required by each of you as we transition back to in-person meetings. As such, we find the increase of $50 per board meeting, a total stipend of $5,000, $500, edit the minutes, reasonable. But we recommend that the board adopt this board resolution.
We need a motion to that effect.
So we will make a motion
to approve the resolution.
I'll second this motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
Julie Kaiches?
Aye.
Jacqueline Jacquemont?
Aye.
Okay, item six, comments from corporate and board members' observations.
Well, thank you, President Rennie, members of the board. Again, I want to thank Linda here for her report explaining the changes that happened due to different requirements and trying to make it clear to all of us what's going on. It seems to me that in the opinion of the nothing is going to change. So I'm sure we may see some more changes we can go out. Well, thank you for the report. Incidentally, 259 students, and as we sit here, they're growing. That's pretty good. You know, by the time we get out, there'll be 500 students.
Hopefully, you know, that's the goal one day.
I appreciate that. Sneaky way to have the two credits before you can get your ADA by sneaking in. And all of those extra curricular activities you're doing with the dance and arts and sport. Oh, go Dragons. I mean, sport. So that's kind of exciting. That's important. And it's important because it does increase the social environment. A lot of these kids, you know, come on. But the last almost 2.5 years, they haven't had that opportunity. They're hanging out. We have problems. And when we have these kind of programs that enable these young people to get together, to find other sources, get more involved with their people, and become part of the community. And I think that's the whole premise of this. You graduate. We had it. One time we had a judge that was speaking at one of our graduations. And he was congratulating those kids who were standing up there getting their diplomas. And what he said to them was, so happy to see you in front of me here, and I won't see you in front of me there. And he meant the bench. So, yes, we are creating futures for these kids, and it happens because of what all of you are doing, and I appreciate that. The legal, I don't want to jump ahead of you, because I wanted to discuss Shelley's report on the dash. Clear and concise.
I just heard today. Thank you, Chris.
No problem.
Let's not forget it's short.
The legal team, you know, Michelle and our friend of the attorney here, Bill, really it doesn't affect us so much. And they're there so that you don't have to sit around and concern yourself. You'll get the reports, you'll find out what's happening, and you'll be very comfortable in getting the knowledge that we're reaching out. We have a lot of attorneys that work with Bill and our attorney team, so that's good. And as far as legislators are concerned, I can't say enough about Bill Morales and his team and the LLAC support that we get. We couldn't do it if we had to do it individually. If your school here had to hire an attorney to go out and lobbyists to go out and couldn't do it. But because of the LLAC program, you're protected and your knowledge will constantly increase. So thank you so much for the time, President Rennie, and back to you.
I have a question about Ambassador. Several years ago, we initiated the HOPE program.
Correct.
How is that going?
It's coming back to fruition. So because of COVID, right, we had to stop everything. So now we're starting to see more parents or parenting teams bring their children on site. So it's coming back. It's a slow, steady, but we'll...
That was a good... Anywhere else, or is it still just?
I think other schools are having more challenges because they just couldn't do it.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. But Jim, they are doing it in other schools. But here she has with that one of our schools in the Los Angeles area. And I first walked into that and I went, oh, that is wonderful. And so I'm encouraging it. Our team is encouraging that. Yes, we want to see that happen because it does give those young moms an opportunity to get their education. And it's kind of fun watching the kids. So, you know, this works out. Yeah.
About the talking of the board, I would say that the most important thing is the conversation before I just walk out. We're now in closed session. I think we have. All right.
board member, Julie Patches made the motion to exit the closed session. Board member Jackie Giacomazzi seconded the motion. Motion passed unanimously. And I need to announce that no action was taken in the closed session for public employee performance evaluation in Section 5495 Trust. So, we are back into the open session, right, Mr. Thompson?
Right.
Oh, no, right now.
And I just want to announce the next meeting is April 20th, and I need a motion to adjourn.
Bill, wait, I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
You want to catch a second?
Moved and seconded. Call the roll, please.
Arthur Rennie? Julie Patches?
Aye.
Kathleen Giacomazzi?
Aye.
Phyllis McGill?
Aye.
Mr. President, this meeting is adjourned.